is the Say Your
Love
Secret.
Love Talk Radio.
Oops, I'm sorry, you guys. Good afternoon, you guys. This is Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And you guys, I am very so much excited tonight. We have Brother Dawa out of Chicago. Yah is real our. He's out of Chicago. He has a television and radio show, and he basically just tell you like it is.
Yes,
and I like his rawness. I like his rawness. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. How you doing, sis?
Doing just fine, just fine. Now, you know, this is going to be a hot topic for me for a minute
yeah.
here. Because,
where's it at?
It's just amazing. Oh, man, it's just amazing how I was telling you earlier before you went on air how Louisiana is goes from slavery to the prison. That's exactly what we're doing down here. And I know you guys are dealing with stuff in Chicago. First of all, before we get to that, let you tell my listening audience about you.
Well, first of all, let me thank you, sister, for this opportunity. Let me thank the ancestors and the creative life-giving force as well, because without all of that as a mix, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I do appreciate the opportunity, sis. If you hear any noise, you're kind of catching me in transition, coming from one place, going to another, but I'm still going to do the show because that's what I do. So, but again, I'm the host, as you said, of the Yah's Real Hour. I've been doing that show now for about, since 2007.
Man.
And it is. I've been on TV since '96 though,
uh-huh.
And I have music and everything else, you know. So I got my own music, play my music on my show, all that stuff. So that's where I'm at right now. I just got through doing some music, came out of the studio. I did a video that should be up a little later on too. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to do as much as I possibly can.
Why you have the opportunity to.
Exactly, sister. And I don't know if everybody got a chance to see, but I did an interview with ABC News, news anchor Byron Pitts, the chief national.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I did that interview. If anybody wants to see the full interview, they can get it from me, but I get information later on.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, I watched that interview, and I was telling my son, matter of fact, I was telling my son earlier that you were coming on, and I told him what happened on the video. I mean, he was laughing, because I was like, you know, he was real, and I liked the idea that we just had more brothers like you, real, about all the stuff that's going on here, and the way that, I mean, I don't know what America's agenda is, but it's not a good agenda right now. It really isn't.
Well,
it is a terrible agenda.
Right.
And
most definitely.
We need more soldiers in the field. You know, we need, and I'm going to say it, and I don't usually use the word, we need these fill-ins to come up out and start working in the street. I mean, I don't know. And it's scary to the point where is the fighter? Where is the people who used to stand up and be right there and get knocked down and stand back up and get more to come behind them? What happened to that?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I think we've been Christianized, so too, you know, we've been taught to turn the other cheek so much, and then, you know, on top of that, we've been hit with crack, you know, this drugs and stuff. I think
yeah.
those two things put a whammy on our what you call revolutionary brothers, as well as of course the prison system.
Yes, definitely. And as we were talking off air, I was telling him about Louisiana here down here. You know, with us having the highest rate of incarceration when it comes to African American, we're actually over the whole world we have the highest population of incarcerated people. We have a prison here called Angola, which is the name of an African country. We have men here that are on horses, like overseers. They have people out in the fields, and they'll admit that they have people out in the fields. And I was looking at a video earlier, and it says that they keep them out in the field till they're about 50 years old. And then when they get 50, they bring them in, and then, you know, that's when all the ailments hit, and it starts to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. One person costs the taxpayers $1 million in health. I mean, this is the way a warden was talking. I mean, like, it wasn't, like, he was actually talking about slaves. And I just cringe. I cringe at the idea that these people see us as commodities. Okay, they see our black men as commodities.
Right. Well, you know, we have to understand that we haven't changed as a people since we've been here under the white man. And he hasn't changed either. Our thought process has always been compassion. We may end fight among each other, but as far as trying to destroy the whole entire world or other nations just because they're European or different, look different than us, like they do, that's not our agenda. We've kept our same genetic makeup and genetic coding as far as the compassion that's within us. They have kept the same barbaric nature that they have had ever since they've been created as well. So that's the problem. They're going to continue to whoop us upside our head if we continue to give them our head to get beat on, to beat on.
Exactly.
As long as we want to remain, you know, go along to get along types, they're going to destroy us. That's why I did an interview with the white boy, Matthew Heimbach, because he told the story. He tells the story of the white nationalists. They don't want to be around us. And the ones of us who want to be around them are the biggest targets and the easiest targets for them because you give yourself to them easily.
You're right. And no matter how much we ring the bell, we scream and holler in the street, we have to wake up. We have to, as African Americans, have got to wake up. And I see that there's a lot of us who are trying to, but we got those. We got those family members that are, you know, oh, please forgive anybody who do anything to you. Just forgive them. You can't go around with all that hate in your heart. Hold up, sweetie. You don't know what's in my heart.
Exactly.
You don't know if I'm hating somebody. I have a right to that feeling because it's my feeling, but you don't know what I'm feeling. I'm feeling anger at something else. It doesn't have to be hate. I'm angry at the point. Literally, it's gotten worse since President Obama's been in office. I don't care what anybody says for him, ever, but the racism has gotten worse. The discrimination and the harassment has gotten worse since he's been in office.
Yes, that's true.
But it's gotten worse.
That's true. And as far as this hate stuff, you know, Europeans create a platform of hatred. They do all these types of things to people, especially, you know, us.
Yes.
And then turn around and tell you don't hate me, make a hate speech law. When they've been spitting all kind of hate speech toward us and other nations forever, anybody that don't look like them, that they want to conquer and take the resources of, they demonize and bastardize all over the news everywhere when they get angry with somebody.
Exactly.
But then they talk about how, you know, we shouldn't hate and we're going to have hate speech. The only reason why they have hate speech laws now is because of these fruit boys walking around, these Fruit Loops and homosexual cats running around, these creamy dudes, these honey buns and sugar cakes and Susie Q's walking around here, chocolate chips and baby Ruth's and all that, these Negroes. That's the reason why they come up with this so-called hate speech stuff. If it wasn't in them fruit cases, slick candy sticks, grapefruit, apple kind dudes walking around here, they wouldn't be none of that. They wouldn't be saying nothing about no hate speech. They're doing it to protect the homos.
Yeah. Because we didn't
get that much.
They didn't. This attention that's going on, and we're not getting off the subject because actually it starts in the prison where all this is coming from, a lot of this is coming from.
Right.
We've come to the point where, and I was telling someone how I am so sick of it. I mean, to each his own. It's not my place to judge them, but I don't want my face washed with it, and I don't want my young men and my family to think it is okay to be that way, and there's nothing wrong with it. there is something wrong with it. It
yeah,
is.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
If you want to do that's fine, but I don't think you should. We should be, you know, our face washed with it on a constant basis. They've got
right.
more rights than we ever fought for and died for.
Exactly. I totally agree.
I don't understand that. We were talking about the prison system. Before I say that, I want to welcome 336 and 662 in the studio. If you want to say something, just let me know and I'll let you in. But right now, we're going to discuss the idea that our prison systems, the idea that we're building more prisons than we're building schools. We're putting money into prisons. The prison system alone is a $182 billion industry, okay?
Exactly, right.
Once we sell over to CCA and Wackenhut, which are private industries, private sector, they're sold on the stock market. They have stocks. So, again, we're being sold into it when you're dealing with the prison system. So, if you think about with the drug thing, you think about with marijuana, when they start legalizing it, like, all over the nation, what are we going to do with all those people that's been in there for nonviolent crimes, drug-related crimes, and they've got to come out? We have a whole other population of people that are going to be coming out the prison system if they're allowed to come out. And there's no real rehabilitation set up for them. You know, they have it set up where they'll go back in. You know, I mean, that's just how it's set up. I used to be a correction officer, and it amazed me. It amazed me at the things that you will see and how the judicial system works. It amazes me, especially.
Wow.
Here. It is amazing how these people work. You know, the handlers are your sheriff department. Sheriff departments
right.
do all the handling.
Right.
And I know you guys up in Chicago have an epidemic right now.
Right.
And I noticed President Obama is kind of stepping in or something about a Brother's Keeper initiative. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. I do know about that. Now, it's funny that, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you well.
Okay, good. It's funny to me that now all of a sudden after Bill O'Reilly spoke to him in reference to doing something for blacks, all of a sudden now he comes out with this program. All
yeah.
this stuff is staged.
Yeah, it is.
Everything is about to collapse and crumble on his watch, which basically is still their watch because him and Bush are cousins, him and Kane Cheney is cousins, him and Kerry is cousins, connected to their white mother, I mean his white mother, which gives him the opportunity to sit in the White House anyway. See,
mm-hmm.
this is not no black presidency. This is a white woman's presidency because he
right.
is the son of the of a white woman,
yep.
period. Now, y'all can say what you want to, but he's the son of a white woman, so that's what presidency is. It's still a white presidency. That's
yeah.
something that we must understand. He ain't going to do nothing to rattle the cage or rattle the feathers of these Europeans in which that are backing him, especially these homosexuals that
mm-hmm.
are backing him.
Yeah.
We have
Big
to understand
time.
That. So anytime he come up with a program talking about helping black folks, especially black men, I don't want to follow that. You know why? Because he supports homosexuality, big time.
Yeah.
So any program he supports, I'm pretty sure the homosexuals have supported it already.
Exactly. You're right.
When it comes down to men, please, they support that. The homosexuals are going to support any program that has to do with men.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
You're right.
black men. Because they're
exactly.
not afraid of a black male homosexual.
Exactly.
They're not afraid of that. Why would they be? Why would anybody be?
They would. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. But they have a lot of power. The problem is the homosexual society has a lot of power. They have a lot of money.
Yeah, a whole lot.
And that's the reason why it's being driven the way it's being driven. And
right.
they're saying Hillary Clinton would be the next president. They've already established that. They're preparing her for that. So, I don't know. I just, like I said before, each his own, but I think what you do in your bedroom is in your bedroom. I don't care if you sleep with a woman, that's your business. I just don't need to see you walking down the street holding the goat's hand. That's all. I mean, I don't want to see it. That's just me. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the thing that they're going to do, though. But go ahead.
It's going to come to that point. I know. I see it. I see it coming. And it's before everything is going to be destroyed. I believe everything is going to be, anything goes, is going to be the next thing that happens. I really believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, with this situation that's brewing up in with Russia and China, it's a possibility that Obama could stay the president if there's a catastrophe here on this soil.
That's
while he's
right.
El Presidente. So he could remain
right.
with a third term.
Yep.
You see.
That's true.
That could be that would bring a whole other dynamic right there.
Exactly. I think the idea that all that he's trying to do, I think with them using him the way that they did, it really made it bad. It's not anything positive now about Obama when it comes to him serving and doing us correctly. He hasn't done anything for us. He's done stuff for the Hispanics. He's done stuff for all these other races, the Muslim brothers, everything. He's done for everybody. But it's like they were told, keep your hands off of the blacks, because our whole purpose is to get rid of them. And I think that is what the whole purpose. I was reading this book called Who Needs the Negro? A professor, Wilhelm. And it just amazes me. This book was written back in the 70s, and it's so prevalent. Everything in it is what's going on right now. Okay?
Wow.
To get rid of us. He says the ultimate goal of the white race is to get rid of us.
That's good. That's good information, because that's exactly what it is. I know that without reading that book. I'm so. What's the name of that book?
It's called Who Needs the Negro by Sidney M. Wilhelm. He's a professor at Buffalo. My husband brought it home from the library for me. He's professor of society at State University, New York at Buffalo.
Wow.
So it is deep. It's very deep. It's amazing that everything he's saying is happening right to this day. And that was written back in the 70s. So nothing's changed. And he talks about how the system is set up. People holler that racism doesn't have anything to do with economics. It basically it's connected so much to economics, it's the reason why we're where we're at because of racism. The white supremacist, the ideal that when we were slaves, they had a use for us. Then they turned around and they made factories, they made machinery, so they no longer needed us. So
right.
We got to figure out what we're going to do with all these Negroes.
Right.
And that's basically, they started with breaking down the family, separating the family,
right.
Which they did back in slavery.
Right.
Once they break down the family's trying to survive, so then crime comes in, and then we got the prison system.
Exactly.
So everything is just amazing how the prediction is there. It's still going on. And it's scary.
That is correct. It's like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just, going to say that it's a connection with what happened on the plantations. When they broke everything down, they fought the Civil War. And slaves were so-called able to be free or leave the South after that happened. And they lost to the so-called Yankee, the Northerners. They turned and went from riding on horses and catching us to riding in cars with horsepower and catching us.
They
turned the plantation from just being in the South and tried to create a global plantation, especially a United States of America plantation. Every part of this country is a plantation for us. They went from bales of cotton, so many bales of cotton a day as a quota, to so many parts in a factory on a factory job, so many pistons or so many so many plastic molds or so many whatever on these factory jobs, they call those plants. When you have a factory job, you work at the plant. Same thing as a plantation. They
exactly.
just globalized it, or they tried to globalize it. And it has the same rules. Instead of you getting whipped with a whip, the whip now is an ink pen. They used to whip you with a whip if you didn't get the quota. Now if you don't make their standard or whatever it is on their job, they just whip the ink pen and say you fire or terminate you or whatever. But either way it goes, you know, sometimes they would kill you back in the day, and sometimes today they can kill you with the ink pen because they can write something, put something in your record that lasts forever. Like so many brothers get these records when they get out of prison. They can't do this, that, this, all these things they cannot do. But yet they set this whole country up based off of thievery and murder and all that. Nobody has taken the actual crackers from plantations to court yet. Nobody has taken their families to court and sued them for what these crackers have been doing.
Nope. You're right. You're right.
And so now nature itself is going to participate, as well as other nations like Russia and China. And even us are going to participate in demise, and animals too, and birds and fowl, whatever, insects, everything is going to participate in the destruction of this European. It has to, because this European has become a cancerous disease that's just busted open and is everywhere, just spreading like wildfire, infecting everything that it touches. It has to be destroyed, period, by everything in which it infects.
You're right. We're going to take a break real quick here. And then we're going to come back, and then we got a couple of people online. We've got three or four people online, so I'm going to let someone say something if they wanted to talk or ask questions or have any comments. Just a second here, okay?
All right.
We'll be right back. I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat. I'm stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back, and we are talking with Brother Dawa, and out of Chicago, and we're talking about slavery to the prison cell, and we're talking about Obama, and we're talking about all the political issues and the disparities of our people and what we need to do if there is a solution to this, and, you know, what our solution is, but our solution, I have us locked up.
Yeah.
It's a legal solution.
Yeah.
I'm going to have 662. Hello, 662. I guess they're just listening. Let's see. 336. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Hello? Okay. They must can't hear us. okay. Now, back to what we were saying about what's coming, the future, how things are going to be looking for us. I mean, when you think about how Mr. Obama, I mean, President Obama is doing and how the scenario has to play out. And you said earlier before commercial, you were saying how the European needs to be destroyed. Are you talking about the European here in the United States, or are you talking about worldwide?
Well, I would say that the European DNA is a DNA that's not a strain of human DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strain. It is a strain of DNA that seems to be much more artificial than human.
Mm-hmm.
These people are not part of these individuals. Excuse me, not part of the human race because, first of all, they have no hue. They play with words. They play with the word human on us, and they just drop the E off the hue and say H U M A N instead of H U E M A N because they know that would exclude them. They are mankind or kind of a man. They are not fully us. I don't care what nobody say, talking about, well, all of us have red blood, we bleed the same, and, you know, a porcupine, if you run it over and bust it open, it'll be red blood. If a hyena is busted open, it'll be red blood. So don't give me the red blood connection. That's not the case.
Exactly.
They're not like us. That's just all there is, too. You're not going to tell me this European is like me, but I can go out in the sun, and the sun will kiss my skin and communicate with me. In ways that I really can't understand because I've lost, we as a people have lost so much of who we are and our sciences, we don't even realize we just can be able to communicate with the sun.
Exactly.
Now, today we cannot because of what these Europeans have taught us. Even though the sun still does what it's supposed to do, it communicates with us. But we, and this European here has never been able to communicate with the sun on the level that we can. So that there's no possible way he could be any Heru or the Son of God, the S-U-N, or the S-O-N, which is the S-U-N's representation of the S-O-N of this so-called God of the universe, is surely not this Europeanized, bastardized freak that they call J-S-U-S. There's no way they can produce no savior of the entire world. It's just not the case. So, you know, they're not like us. They have to create themselves on television. And that's one thing. If anything is destroyed, it needs to be Hollywood for certain because
exactly.
This is where the European controls the world through his television, through his Hollywood or his wood that's holly, which is actually a wood that's used to make magic wands. And on television, he makes himself magical. That's why he made Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion, knowing damn well ain't no damn Italian boxer today that's whooped all these people and did all that stuff the so-called Rocky did. They had to reinvent themselves, make themselves something on television that they are not. They play Noah. They play Moses. They play all the so-called prophets of the Bible. They play all the so-called disciples of the Bible. They play Cleopatra. Anything in Egypt, they play that too. They tried to play damn Tarzan and not Tarzan. They tried to play Indians back in the days when they had the Western movies and stuff. They played the Indian like the Indians too. They had David Carradine playing like he was Chinese instead of actually going and getting somebody Asian actually playing in Kung Fu, which we used to watch all the time.
Yeah, I never saw that.
These Europeans always try and manipulate everybody else's story because their story is so brutal and so wicked and so evil. It's not, they can't tell their true story on television because they would say, they would show the world how savage they really are.
Man.
So they have to portray everybody else's story.
Man.
And when they do that, they manipulate and lie. They don't tell the whole story. They manipulate and tell the parts they want to tell.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And they're going to continue to do this. The thing is, they're not going to change. And we have to really just finally accept that one of these days, in our mind, we just have to wake up and say, these folks are never going to change. So then that means once we really realize that, it's left up to us to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that change would be to detoxify yourself of white supremacy.
Yeah. You're right. And you know what? It's so weird that you can tell their makeup is not like ours. Their insides, their way of thinking, it's not like ours. No matter what, you know, you hear people saying, oh, you were thinking the same thing. No, you guys don't think on the same level we do. Though they're mentally not together. They're mentally not together. And that's because they're not like us.
Exactly.
They're one race that has, existed as long as we have. We've gone to every part of the continent, all over, and left a seed. No one has ever done that.
That's
why it's black Chinese. That's why it's black Asians. Everywhere we went, we dropped a seed.
Right. Right. And
because
I remember when I... Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say we are the original people.
Right. Right. When I went to Hawaii, I got a chance to see. I had no idea, but there's a king named King Kamehameha, and they had a statue of him. I went to Maui for like 7 days. They had a statue of him, and the statue was a big, strong brother, and he was blue-black. I mean, black like black as black can get.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how in the resort area you had the light-complected Hawaiians, the ones you see on television.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to drive maybe about 2 hours inland to go and see the ones who have the darker skin complexion, the wider noses, thicker lips, the ones who look more like us.
Exactly.
It was so interesting. And when we got out there about 2.5 hours away from the mainland, they was dancing and singing, just like Negroes are dancing and singing today to please whites.
Yeah.
Same thing. The only difference was the Hawaiians was dancing and singing and eating and cooking from their own culture. We have lost ours completely. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went on the planet, I've seen racism. I've seen when I went to Panama, I saw the light-skinned, the light-complected, when I was in the military, I saw the light-complected Panamanians versus the dark-complected Panamanians. The light-complected Panamanians didn't like the brothers. Didn't like black men. Hated us. Now, because their reason, I'm not going to say what their reasoning was, because we're not talking about that, but their reasoning was something that had to do with our anatomy. I'll let you figure it out.
Now, wait a minute. I have a question. When were you in Panama?
I was in Panama back in 1992. I was in jungle operations training. I was in the military. I was in the military from 89 to 93.
What were you?
I was stationed in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 101st Airborne, down in Kentucky with all the racist cracks. Right.
You guys, we're sorry because we're going to have to talk because I was stationed at Fort Campbell.
Wow.
I was stationed in Panama, too.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, see now, that's one of them things that I had to say is synchronicity and the spirit that just speaks through me because I didn't know you. I had no idea. I really didn't know why I was bringing it up, what that had to do with the conversation, but now I see why.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at another time. We'll talk about the military.
Okay. Wonderful.
But, yeah, you're right about the races, how they're different, how I know in Panama, when you say Panama, I know exactly what you're talking about because that's exactly how it is in Panama. They make a difference in the color of the skin. Yes, they do. They have the black,
yeah.
Dark Panamanians, and they call them white Panamanians. Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing for me to see that at 20 years old, 21. I'm like, really? I never heard of such.
Yes, yes. Well, see, that's because we don't want to believe. See, we don't get outside of the United States, so we don't know what all these other countries, how we're being treated. But they're saying now African-Americans, African dark-skinned people are being treated crappy all over the world now.
Right.
Israel is kicking our ass.
Right.
Okay. And we black folk here, we all Israel. But like I tell them, Israel is not our friend.
No.
Okay? The way they treating our people over there right now. They're not our friend. And when you know what Israel's whole agenda is and America's whole agenda is, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
They've fought no wars with us, but we protect them like crazy. We send them $1 billion a year. What? Somebody said to keep our mouth shut. I mean, to keep their mouth shut for all the stuff that we've done. I don't know.
Well.
But, I mean, I'm just amazed how, first of all, I said something about Israel. Did I say something wrong? Let me make sure I didn't step on those toes or anything. Did I?
Not with me, you didn't.
Okay. Okay. I want people to understand, you need to look at the history of Israel. Why are they doing what they're doing to the Palestinians? Why are they treating them like they're treating them? It's just like here. It's the same thing here. No different.
Right.
That's why they have
right.
so much in common, because that's what they're used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no matter where we go on this earth, we're being persecuted for being who we are. And we have no control over our color. That's the whole thing about it. We don't control our color. Our color was given from above. Why are we being treated the way we're treated? Because I truly believe that people are literally afraid of us. That's what I believe. I believe the biggest fear that the white man has is the idea that we will come together. That's the biggest fear, is that we will come together, put our minds together, and start working for each other and start making things happen. That's the biggest fear. Another fear is a black Wall Street. You know about the history about Oklahoma, the Black Wall Street.
Right.
I think that's another big fear of theirs.
Right.
But we're so separated, and we're so bougie, and I'm better than you. We'll never connect again. And let me not say that, because I think there is an opportunity for us to connect again. I think right now there are spurts of things happening, but as far as overall, I think we got a long way to go, and we're going to leave some casualties behind, because you got some people that'll kick your tail if you say something bad about a white.
Yeah, we need to let them go. Let them have at the European. Just go, please, pack all your and just get the moving. Kick rocks and kick them real hard, too. Just get to going down the road, fella, because we have no time. This is not the time to be patronizing whites.
Nope.
This is just not the time for that. I don't have time for nobody around me that want to patronize no white folks. No one. No one around me that want to patronize white folks. I don't trust any of them. I'll do business with them because that's what we have to do right now. But
that's
I will never trust them. Never trust them, period. And wish I could find a way to not have to do business with them ever.
Yeah. If we support each other, we wouldn't have to. If we had all the same products, services that they have created over the years, if we had those same products and services, we would never. And that's the fear they have, that we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we had it, we would never frequent their store. We would not patronize them at all if we had that in our community. But, see, in our communities, we'd rather liquor stores that's owned by Arab, because that's what happens here. We have our liquor stores in all the black neighborhoods, and on every corner you have in our black area, there's a liquor store. You know, let's keep drugged up and drunk so they won't, you know, we know that's a guaranteed way that they're going to go to jail some kind of way. And that's basically how it's been.
You mentioned a very big player now in our society, in our neighborhoods, and that's the Arabs, or the people who are of Arab descent, those who are from the so-called Middle East who come in the neighborhoods and run stores. If you go back to the movie Roots, the first, I think it's the first one, where Kunta was sent to hunt a bird, to capture a bird, and he saw a white man. Now, if you look at all of the slavers that was walking and had the brothers in the chains, it wasn't just white. You see a guy who looks like an Arab guy who has the dress of a prince or something like that of Saudi Arabia or that particular part of the world. They participated in slavery back then.
Yeah.
And the history shows that they were very barbaric in the way that they treated us. And the reason why that is because some would say that the story of the so-called Bible is correct and that that is the son of Ishmael, and that's who became the Arabians, and they always hated Isaac, who was the so-called black man and womb man of the day and all over throughout the diaspora, according to the story that I have been taught. And I know there has to be something that happened a long time ago back in those days to cause them to despise us, because they was part of that slave trade too. And this is not a shout out, a shot to any Muslims out there, but I'm not going to pull no punches either. The history is there, and as our brother Malcolm said himself, history is best proved to reward all research. History. This is why I pay attention to the history. The history. I let the European tell his story about how barbaric he was, and all I do is fall in line with it. I do believe from his story throughout the whole universe that he is the personification, that he is, he embodies what we know of as the devil. His nation embodies that energy. I don't care what nobody else says, his nation embodies such an energy. That's just all there is to it.
So, okay, so what do you think about, why is it that there's such a big influx of Arabians in our neighborhoods? What is the deal with that?
Well, like I said, it goes back to slavery. They've always had an interest in controlling us in some form or fashion. And
they
so
had,
it is.
No, I was sorry. I was just saying they were slave owners.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So them coming in our neighborhoods, it's funny how they come in the neighborhood and they'll sell us pig feet, but they don't eat pig. You know, it's just crazy to me. They're selling pig feet, but they don't eat pig. Then I asked one of them, I said, okay, do you eat this? No. I said, why the hell are you selling it to us then? You want to give us heart attacks and all that. Of course, he didn't say nothing. He shut his mouth. But see, that's one thing that the mosques, these black mosques should be doing. These brothers should be running them. They should be shutting them Arabs down. I don't see them Arabs up in the mosques with the brothers.
Nope.
I don't see that. Sorry, but I don't. Now, they may go to their mosque. I don't see them Arabs coming to the black mosque. I don't see them Arabs coming to the black neighborhood and setting up shop in the streets and having dinners and whatever, serving halal meats and stuff. I don't see that happening, and it ain't going to happen. Because you're only their brother because you accept their God. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's what it is. If you don't accept their deity, their God, or what they call their God, and their ways of praying and things of that nature, or acknowledging their God, they do not accept you as no brother. You can say what you want to. I was in Saudi Arabia. I didn't see no Negroes over there in no mosques.
No, they weren't.
So I'm sorry to tell you, they are slave owners. They ain't never. As a matter of fact, look how they treat your woman. Look how they treat the black woman. They'll hire her. These young sisters out here that's working, they're single mothers and things like that, trying to stay struggling in the neighborhood. They ain't got transportation to get to no damn job. We're way out somewhere taking care of children. They're doing what they're doing. They're doing what the European have gave them to do, the cards they've been dealt with. And they work it to the best of their ability. So they go get these little jobs, work at these little fish joints and, you know, burger joints that these Arabs have. And they go in there and cook the food for them, take the orders and all that type of stuff. And sometimes they get them sisters, get them pregnant and everything else.
Yeah.
Take them, but when they get mad at their sister, they take that baby away from here. You'll never see it again.
Yep.
And another thing, you're not going to never see they want to work in your store. Never. Where do they live at? Matter of fact, ask that question. Where do they live?
Never see where they live at.
Exactly. What does that tell you? Now, how is it that you in my neighborhood doing business, you got my woman in your store, my daughter, my niece in your store, but I never see your woman, I never see your daughter, I don't even know where you live. You get my money and everybody else's money in the neighborhood every day, all day, and you shut shop down, and you go somewhere and live somewhere, we never see you again until the next day.
Yep. And you don't know where they live at. You never see where they live at. They drive nice cars, and that's it.
Exactly. And you don't bring nothing back into our neighborhood but more pig feet.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. You know, more pork chop sandwiches and, you know, ham sandwiches, whatever the hell, ham and cheese, whatever the hell you're selling over there to Negroes. It's amazing.
About the Asians. Think about the Koreans and the Cambodians. The Cambodians do this in the hair and nails. I get my nails done every now and then. And the Asians and the Orientals do the hair. They come right in our neighborhood, set up shop. We get mad if they ain't in our neighborhood. If a black one was there, shut that sucker down. I'm going over here to them because they're cheaper. How do you have, you capitalize on hair. They capitalize on hair. They got the market locked on wigs and weaves. How is that?
I don't know. I don't know because, again, you never see them living among you. They have Chinatown or they have, you know, a little Asian town or whatever, Korean town or whatever. They always live among themselves.
Exactly.
And you see, the thing that they do with Negroes, they got Negroes still thinking that we eating chicken when we go to the restaurant, the Asian restaurant. Negro news flash, that ain't no damn chicken. It wasn't no chicken in 1965. It wasn't no chicken in 1973. It ain't no chicken in 1981. It ain't no chicken in 2004. And it ain't chicken in 2014. They don't serve no damn chicken up in them damn places. That white meat you eat and that you think is chicken ain't no damn chicken. Never have been, never will be. It might be some cat or some rat or some dog, but it ain't no damn chicken. And Negroes love chicken. Anybody selling chicken, I'm just going to tell the truth. Any of these greasy restaurants coming here, they're selling any type of chicken, we're going to get some chicken. Every time we go to a restaurant, it's chicken.
Yeah, yep.
So as long as these Europeans sell chicken, as long as these Asians sell chicken, as long as these Arabs sell chicken, Negroes are going to be in there sucking on grease. That's all that, and that's just the absolute truth. That one-yard bird got us gone. They said orange chicken. They said they're going to shut down every Asian restaurant. Negroes will be mad as hell.
Yes, because of their mindset. Our people are so, our people are just so, it's just amazing just watching them. When I think about this is all tied in. Please, my listening audience, please understand, this is all tied in together to what we're saying about slavery, to the prison cell. All of this connects together. This is what they deal with before they go in. When they come out, things don't change. The ideal that I sat in the courtroom and I watched the way the judicial system works amazed the hell out of me. The way that from the judge, the prosecutor, to the even the public defender sails you down the river. You're sitting there, and I was supposed to be interviewing one public defender about a case we're working on right now. And at first he was going to, you know, let me interview him. But at the end, when we realized what he did and how the whole case was set up, He didn't want my interview. He didn't want to let me interview him after that because he knew that he sold this young, this mental disabled child, young man, down the river for life. And he knew what they were doing to him in there. And it just, it mind boggles me that this man, this public defender, was a black man. He was a black man. Down here in the South, they don't mind selling their soul. They don't blink, sell their soul to the white man. We deal with all the time.
Yeah, that sounds like house, sound like house nigga mentality. Sound like house nigga mentality to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it goes hard here. And it, I sometimes have to catch myself because I get so stressed when I think about all the people who've been sold down the river by the judicial system here. The corruption is so rampant. It is so rampant. And they make the laws so it'll look legal. But when you got everybody got their hand in a cookie jar, it makes you feel like there's no help. So we have to go outside to get the help that we need. Because inside is so corrupt.
That's right.
It's corrupt.
It's corruption. It's corruption on every level. And when it comes down to politics, you know, you can't expect the government to run efficiently and righteously when it was set up by thieves and murderers and extortionists and rapists and cannibals and homosexuals and lesbians and petty thieves and, you know, thieves of all types of psychological, psychopathic minds, you see. You can't expect the government to run efficiently. Right, exactly. This is who was kicked out of Europe, out of the prisons and stuff, and that's who ended up here to establish a country.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason why the European cracker is a little more devious, than the other crackers across the globe. That's why some people say, well, you should leave here, man, and go to Europe, and you should go to so-and-so and so-and-so. They're not like that over there. Now, racism is different in those other countries, but it's still racism.
Racism.
And I know it is. It's racism, period. It's a little different, but it's still racism. And that is that the system of Europeans control the system or the livelihood of the so-called others that are not European or pale-faced crackers.
Exactly.
You see.
I get so overwhelmed because I want us to understand. I would love to take some of the kids when I go on these cases. We had a mayor maybe about 3 or 4 months ago who was for malfeasance in office. And what they do is they go after our political men, our men in the politics, our mayors. We've had 3 or 4 mayors be sentenced to jail, I mean, for stupid stuff. And this mayor was speaking up against one of the racist parishes we have. It's called Jackson Parish. And speaking up in his area, which was Jonesboro, and they hooked him up, and he's in jail. We sat in the courtroom with his case. In the he had an all-white jury. You never do that. That's unheard of. And he was a black man with an all-white jury. And they convicted him. You have the clerk of court, who's sister-in-law and the brother-in-law of the judge. I mean, these little small towns, see, they get away with murder in these rural areas. Oh, they get away with murder because there's not a spotlight on them. But they get away with pure D murder. And that's why there's so many of our people here in Louisiana that's locked up, because they come from these small one-horse towns where there's not enough intelligence there to understand, and the people to understand that you're being railroaded.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been labeled troublemakers because what we do is we tell them your rights, and we let them know your rights have been violated. You know, what you do, you know, you need to let us know what you're going to do about this, because if you don't, you're gone. And then when they get to the system, once they're in the system, there you go with the homosexuality.
Exactly.
So one old pattern after another. And our young boys, the white man did what he had to. His mission was to destroy the African-American family. He did that. when he starts separating the fathers from the sons and allowing the mothers to do all the raising and the mother to be the man and the woman, the mother and the father. When they separated the men from the family, it destroyed. The family was one of the strongest nucleus you have is your family. That's where everything grows out of the family. And when the family is divided, they automatically knew that nothing's going to grow out of this. Oh, no. It's not going to have to grow out of this. And they start separating us. And then there you go with the crime rate, you know, the drugs, and make it. Let's set it up the system where they can go to jail. Oh hell, we go to jail. Go to jail.
Right.
When I was at this recent case, the judge said, even though we don't have evidence that he did this certain thing, somebody got to go down for it. That's what she said there. I don't know if she realized that she said it, but she said it. So. You have people, that's why I know there's a lot of innocent people in prison. She validated that. She says somebody got hit. Right there while we were standing there. So that's why I know there's a lot of people that's locked up. When people say, I'm innocent, I'm willing to believe that they are, especially here. When you got a billion-dollar industry going on. Do you want somebody to come and interrupt that?
No.
Okay. Think about that. Think about that money. Do you want somebody to come in there and interrupt that and say, no, you can't do this, this is wrong? You know, you got sheriff departments calling each other from each parish because we're broken down in parishes and not counties. Because we're up under Napoleonic rule. We're still under the French rule. So our rules are a little bit different than the rest of the United States. And to their advantage, it's good. Because to the rest of the United States, it's not good. But to the advantage of Louisiana, it's good. Because they can basically almost do what the hell they want to a certain extent, unless it's on a federal level. just the ideal that they make the rules, and you have to abide by them because that's their rules. And you can fight them. If you can find a way to fight them, you fight them. But they've already made up their mind. Like I said, they're so interconnected here. It's crazy. It's really crazy. And I'm hoping that we can all come together and make these at least come together and be strong and on making a difference. You know what? I just noticed something. We are almost out of time. Matter of fact, we are down to 1 minute, 38 seconds. So before we go, I want you to kind of tell us what you plan. I want you to tell us a little bit what you're planning on doing in the future and tell us how we can get a hold to your videotapes and how we can watch your show.
Well, I just opened up a store on Amazon, so you can find me on Amazon, Dawa Israel on Amazon. You can find me on my website, www.yahisraelhour.com. That's YahisraelHour.com. Find out what I'm doing. You sign up to get some of my DVDs, interview I did with Byron Pitch from ABC, Matthew Heinbach, the White Nationalist. They're on there for sale. I have my e-book on there as well. I'm still in the process of getting the paperback book back out, The Definition of a Broke Ass, what I did with homosexuality from a street perspective as well as an educational perspective, all wrapped up into one. It's scholarly as well as street, and it covers every base, I believe, every type of mindset in the so-called black community. I think it really covers all of that. And I'm going to be continuing to do my shows as well as music. I might be going on tour here with my music. My music is starting to get the attention of a lot of people. So hopefully, you know, maybe soon, one of these days, you'll see me in your town probably doing some music, not just speaking or lecturing as well. So that's some of the things that I'm doing.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, sister.
And you have a nice evening. And thank you guys out there who was listening in. We will be bringing the brother back.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.